Chapter 4. Clamming. The children walked through the beach grass and sat on the sand.
"Jesse, look at that," cried Benny, pointing.
As he spoke, a stream of water shot out of the sand. But Henry did not stop to say how pretty it was.
"Clams," he shouted. He jumped up and took a stick from the beach.
The rest of the children and the dog ran to watch Henry as he began to dig. Sure enough, he took a real clam from the wet hole.
"Oh, I wish I had a shovel," cried Henry. "There are lots of clams here. See that hole and that?"
"Let's run up and get two big spoons and the dishpan," cried Jesse.
They raced for the tools, leaving Benny and Violet with the stick. When they came running back, they found that Benny had dug out another clam.
"I am going to keep mine," said Benny, very pleased with himself. "It is such a pretty purple color."
"You can put all yours together into this pan, Benny," said Jesse, giving him a saucepan. "You won't want to keep them when you find out how good they are to eat." The children took off their shoes and set to work.
"There's another," cried Benny. "I can't dig fast enough."
Watch seemed to know what was going on. He stood still a minute, watching Benny dig with the stick. Then he began to dig, too, with his paws.
"Good old Watch," cried Benny. "You can do all my digging if you want, and I will take the clams out for you."
As if he really did understand, the dog waited for Benny to show him where the clam was. Then he began to dig again. The older children laughed to see the sand fly under his paws, but they were very glad to see the pan fill up.
"I suppose these are for dinner tomorrow," said Henry, as he threw a clam on the pile.
"Yes," said Jesse. "These will keep all right here. We can cover them all over with seaweed."
"I think we have enough," said Henry, looking at the pan.
He went to the water and pulled out a lot of wet seaweed. He spread this carefully over the clams.
"I wish we knew what was around that next point," he said.
"Let's find out."
"We're exploring now, Benny," said Violet. "You must keep your eyes open."
Benny's eyes were certainly open when he went around the point. In the water near the beach was a little raft.
"Oh, I know that Grandfather fixed this place for us to swim in," said Benny.
"Of course he did," said Henry.
"The water here can't be over my head, but it is deep enough for swimming."
The children explored until 3 o'clock. Then they all agreed to go swimming and went to their rooms to put on their suits. When they came back to the beach, they all walked together into the water.
"Cold," said Benny, walking out again. "I like warm water."
"That's because you're not in all over," said Jesse, laughing. "You just watch Henry and you'll soon like it."
They all watched Henry as he went quickly into the water and began swimming hand over hand to the raft. Watch swam along beside him.
"It's great," Henry shouted as he sat on the raft. "Come on out, Jesse."
"I will just as soon as I get Benny in," she called back. "You'll never be warm unless you go in all over, Benny."
But Benny would not go in. He sat in his swimming suit, throwing stones into the water. Violet was down the beach looking for seaweed. She said she would stay with Benny while Jesse swam out to the raft. As Jesse and Henry sat with their feet in the water, they saw a man coming.
"It's Joe," said Henry.
It was Joe, and he was wearing a swimming suit. Henry watched as Joe came along the beach and sat down beside Benny.
"How is the water today?" asked Joe.
"It's awfully cold," replied Benny. "It's ice melted."
"I guess that's because you haven't been in all over," said Joe, smiling.
"Yes, that's what Jesse says," said Benny.
"That is called rockweed," said Joe suddenly, as Violet picked up a long piece of brown seaweed.
"There are beautiful seaweeds around here. See this dark green one on the sand? And here's another red one. Look,
there is a piece of it in that wave. Joe went into the water and Violet followed him.
"Oh, there it goes," she cried. "We've lost it."
Benny was standing up by this time, looking into the waves. He did not even feel the water washing over his feet. The seaweed came up on a wave and went down again. This time, Benny went after it.
"I've got it," he shouted.
He was right. He had caught the red seaweed, and he was wet all over.
"Good for you, Benny," said Joe, with a smile. "Let me take it a minute."
"Here," said Benny, handing the seaweed to Joe.
He did not know that he was standing in melted ice.
"Say, I have an idea," said Joe. "Float the seaweed like this in water. Then pick it up by putting a piece of writing paper under it and spread out the feathery branches with a pin."
"Will the seaweed stay on the paper?" asked Violet.
"Yes," said Joe. "There is something in the seaweed that makes it stick to the paper when it is dry. Then you can use the paper for writing letters."
"Oh, I'd like that," cried Violet. "But I'd also like to make a seaweed collection."
"Fine," said Henry, for he and Jesse had come back from the raft to see what was going on. "You can write down the names of the seaweed and make a little book."
"That will be hard to do. There aren't many everyday names for seaweed," said Joe.
"You know lots of things, don't you, Joe?" said Benny.
The three older children agreed, for they had seen how clever Joe had been in getting Benny into the cold water without his knowing it. After they had dressed and were sitting down to supper, Henry was thinking about Joe. Later, when he was in bed, he thought, "Joe is a very strange handyman to know the names of the different kinds of seaweed."
Chapter 5. Summer Plan.
"We must go on exploring the island," said Henry, the morning after the clam digging. "It may rain any day, and the days are just flying by."
"We can go this morning," said Jesse, coming to the doorway of the barn.
"The clams will not take very long to cook, and that's all we're going to have for dinner, except, of course, bread, butter, and milk. If we get back by 11 o'clock, we shall have plenty of time."
"It's settled then," said Henry. "Let's take the big kettle. We might find something we want to bring home. Now, where is Benny?"
"There he is," said Jesse, pointing.
Benny was coming from the dock. He had a basket of groceries with him.
"Hurry up, Benny. We are going to explore," said Henry, taking the kettle.
"Aren't we going to cook my clams?" asked Benny.
"Oh, yes, we'll be back in plenty of time to cook your clams, Benny." They started down the beach.
"See this funny shell," said Jessie.
She dug it out with her foot.
"It is just like a little boat. Let's save it."
She dropped it into the kettle.
"And here's a beautiful one," said Violet. "Let's save all the shells we find."
"Look at this pretty purple flower, Jessie, right in the sand," said Benny.
"Let's save all the flowers we find, too," said Jessie. "Put it in the kettle, Benny."
Just then, Henry began to jump around on the sand. The others watched him in surprise.
"What in the world is the matter with you?" asked Jesse, as Watch began to jump with him.
"I have a great idea. Oh, boy," cried Henry.
"Tell us," said Violet, as they all sat down on the sand.
"Well," began Henry, "you all know what a museum is."
"I don't," said Benny.
"Oh, sure you do, Benny," cried Henry. "You must have seen pictures of museums, places where they keep all kinds of birds and animals and flowers."
"And shells," said Violet.
"That's it," cried Henry, looking at his sister. "You know what my idea is already, don't you?"
"I think so," said Violet. "And I think it is a perfectly wonderful idea."
"Oh, do you?" asked Henry. "I wasn't sure."
"What is this idea?" asked Jesse.
"Well," answered Henry, "we are sure to find some interesting things on this island to keep. We found these things without looking at all. Maybe we shall find lots more. Butterflies, birds, seaweed."
"We could clean out the upstairs in the barn," said Jesse.
"And have a museum," said Benny.
I can't think of anything I'd rather do, said Jessie. That will give us lots of things to do on rainy days. Violet could make little signs for everything, and you could make a table to go around the room. And I will dry the flowers between newspapers and put the shells in boxes.
We wouldn't have real birds, would we? Asked Violet, looking worried.
Oh, no, cried Henry. We could cut birds out of heavy paper and color them, every bird we see.
Then we could cut down some small trees and put the birds on the branches, said Jessie. I've seen them in the museum.
Good, said Henry. We might find old birds' nests to put up in the trees. We will have plenty of fun this whole summer.
Violet began to write down in the little book. 1. Birds. 2. Flowers. 3. Seaweed. 4. Shells. 5. Butterflies.
That's enough for a beginning, said Henry, standing up. We shall have to be on the watch every minute.
And so the exploring party set out once more, looking at the trees for birds and dropping flowers and shells into the kettle.
How can I write the names of these shells when we don't know their names? Asked Violet.
She dropped a long, thin clamshell into the kettle, but nobody knew what it was.
I suppose we could get a book about shells from the library, said Henry. Grandfather said we could go across to the mainland with Captain Daniel if we wanted to. But I don't want to leave this island for even a minute.
Something will turn up, said Jessie. Something did turn up. The very minute the explorers came back to their barn, they saw Joe getting into the motorboat.
Oh, wait, called Jessie, running down to the dock.
Don't hurry, called Joe. Plenty of time. But all the children kept on running just the same.
Are you going to the stores now, Joe? Asked Jessie.
That's just where I am going, replied Joe. I will get anything you want, and I shall be back in an hour.
Then you will go right by the library, cried Jessie. Would you be willing to get us some books?
Yes, I can get all the books you want by signing for them, he said. Joe took out a pen and a piece of paper and gave them to Jessie. Write the names of the books you want, and I will get them.
I can't, answered Jessie, giving back the paper. We don't know the names of the books. But we want books with pictures in them to tell us the names of flowers, birds, shells, butterflies, and seaweed.
Joe smiled in a queer way and said, I could ask the girl in the library to pick them out for you.
That's right, agreed Henry. She would know.
But when Joe went into the library, he did not ask for any help. He gave the girl in the library the names of so many books that she had to write very fast. Then a small boy went off to get them. When the books were tied up, the strange handyman went away, leaving the girl and small boy looking after him in surprise. Joe was really delighted to go over to the barn and see the children. He knocked at their open door with his foot, as his arms were full of books.
Oh, come in, cried Jessie.
She put a cover on the kettle and came over to him at once.
Did you have any luck?
I don't know. I hope so, said Joe.
Oh, Henry, cried Jessie. I don't know what to do first, but I suppose I must fix the clams.
You surely must, said Henry. We are so hungry we could eat the chairs, but I will not open the books until after we eat.
Won't you stay to dinner, Joe? Asked Jessie. I washed the clams 6 times, and they are cooking now. I think they are almost done.
Oh, how Joe wanted to stay to dinner.
He said. That's fine, said Jessie, as if he had said yes. You're our first guest, shouted Benny with delight. But you'll have to wash your own dishes.
Oh, no, he won't, Benny, cried Jessie. You shouldn't say such things.
I would like to wash my own dishes, said Joe, smiling. And I really would like to see if the books are all right.
Violet smiled, because the smell of the clams was good enough to make anyone hungry. While Jessie melted some butter, Violet went out and brought back 5 of Benny's purple flowers and put 1 at each place.
The clams were all open when Jessie looked in the kettle. She began to take them out with the saucepan.
"Please let me do that," said Joe. "That kettle is so heavy."
"Thank you so much," said Jessie. "I can put the melted butter into the cups." She did this quickly, and then poured the clam water into 5 bowls. Violet set them all on the table.
"Oh, dear, what shall we do for another place to sit?" asked Jessie.
"Let me bring the block from my woodpile," said Joe.
When Joe came back with the block of wood, Benny asked,
"How do you eat clams, anyway?"
"Pull the clam out," said Joe. "See? Then put him into the clam water, then into the melted butter."
"Then you put him into your mouth," said Benny.
They all laughed at Benny, but they did not talk much, for they were too busy eating. Joe picked out Benny's clams for him. "I never had so much fun at a dinner in my life," said Joe when the clams were gone, "but I want to help with the dishes."
"All right," said Jessie. "I put the kettle of water on to heat before we sat down. You may wipe dishes if you really want to."
When the dish water was hot, the dishes were washed and soon were all put away in the cupboard.
Then Jessie said, "Now, show us the books, Joe."
Chapter 6, The Museum. Joe and the children sat around the table to look at the books. Henry took off the paper and found 12 interesting-looking books.
"The butterfly book," said Jessie.
"The shell book," said Violet.
"The flower book," said Henry.
"Oh, these 3 books must belong to a set. Just look at the beautiful pictures."
The handyman seemed to be just as interested as the children. He soon found a picture of the purple flower on the table. It was the beach pea. Then Joe showed the children the names of the shells they had found. He saw that Henry was staring at him.
"How did you ever learn all this?" asked Henry.
"Oh, I just picked it up," said Joe. "I used to live near the beach." Joe saw that he would have to be more careful, because it appeared that he knew too much for a handyman. And so he said he would have to get back to his work. After Joe had gone, Henry said, "Let's look upstairs." He ran up the stairs and the others followed with the dog. First, Henry opened the big windows. Then he looked around the room. The pile of straw was at one end. In the corner stood an old straight-backed chair. Jessie went over and shook it.
"Wonderful," said Jessie. "We'll use that when Grandfather comes to call. To think of having a real guest chair."
"I wish we had some boards," said Henry. "I thought we might find some up here."
"What is this?" asked Benny.
"Boards," shouted Henry.
Some 8-foot boards were piled on the floor under the straw.
"Well, now," cried Henry, "how lucky we are. I'll get right to work. I can carry the boards down under the trees and saw them to make tables."
"I ought to dry the flowers," said Jessie. "Violet can look up their names, and Benny can help carry down the boards."
"We ought to have lots of newspapers for drying the flowers," said Violet, going downstairs, "and we haven't a single newspaper."
"Joe has," said Benny, to everyone's surprise. "He gets 2 every day, so he must have a lot."
"You go ask him, Benny, will you?" said Violet. "Just ask him for old ones, and be sure to thank Joe."
When Benny arrived at Captain Daniel's hut, he knocked at the door.
"Hello?" called a voice.
Benny walked around to the other side of the hut. Joe and the captain sat there cleaning fish.
"Have you any old newspapers?" asked Benny. "Not to read, but to dry flowers between?"
"We certainly have," said Joe, smiling. He pointed to some piles of old newspapers.
"Oh, 1 pile will be enough," cried Benny, delighted. "Jessie only wanted 12. Thank you, Joe. She will be surprised."
Jessie was surprised and pleased.
"Have you a thin board about 1 foot long?" she called to Henry.
"How's this?" asked Henry.
"Perfect. Go get it, Benny," said Jessie.
But she had used the wrong words for Benny and the right words for watch. When the dog heard, "Go get it,"
He ran out of the barn to Henry, who put the board carefully in the dog's mouth. Then Watch ran back and laid the board at Jesse's feet. Jesse was so pleased that she stopped her work and gave him a piece of bread. The girls smoothed the flowers out on the newspapers, just as they had done in school. Then they covered the flowers with more papers and a board and put a large stone on top.
"I hear a motorboat," said Henry.
"I'm going down to see," said Benny. "There might be something for us."
Jesse said, "Don't be too sure."
To her surprise, he came back in a few minutes with a big box.
"We did get something," he cried. "It's from Grandfather. Captain Daniel said so."
Henry opened the big box.
"Sweaters," he said.
Benny took his at once.
"I know mine is that red one," he said. "And I guess that purple one is Violet's."
There was a beautiful blue one for Jesse and a brown one for Henry. They all put them on to see how they looked.
"Grandfather thinks it's going to get cold," said Jesse.
"So do I," answered Henry. "I think we shall be glad of these presents very soon."
When Jesse woke up late that night, she heard rain falling on the roof of the barn. She put on her shoes and shut all the windows. Henry got up to help shut the barn door.
"Now I guess we'll keep dry," he whispered. "The rain is coming in somewhere," said Jesse softly.
They listened, and they could hear the sound of water dropping near the stove.
"We mustn't let the stove get wet," cried Henry, speaking out loud. "Get the big kettle."
Henry put it under the stream of water. The water seemed to come faster and faster into the kettle.
"We can't go to sleep because the kettle might run over," said Henry after a minute.
"What's the matter, Jesse?" called Benny in a sleepy voice.
"Rain is coming through the roof," said Henry. "You go back to sleep."
"I can't," cried Benny. "Rain is coming in my window, too, and all over me."
"Oh, dear," cried Jesse. "Where is the flashlight?"
With the flashlight, the two older children soon saw that the wall near Benny's bed was very wet. A stream of water was running in under his window.
"Get up, Benny," cried Henry.
Benny came out slowly.
"I don't like this bed," he said.
He began to cry.
"I like my bed at Grandfather's house, and I want to go home. It's nice and dry there."
"Now, Benny, don't be like that," cried Jesse. "You're a big boy, and you ought to be up helping us. You wouldn't like it if we left you at home, would you?"
"No," said Benny.
This idea woke him up, and he started to help move his bed out.
"What's the matter?" called Violet.
"It's raining in this barn," said Benny. "Maybe on you, too."
"No, it's not," said Violet, "but I can hear it coming in somewhere."
"It's coming in all over the place," cried Henry.
"I wish we had more kettles," said Jesse. "I'll put one pail under this window and the other pail in the corner."
"We can't go to sleep," said Violet. "The pails and kettle will run over."
"The rest of you can go to sleep," said Henry. "I will stay up and empty the pails. Benny, you get into my bed. I think we have found all the places where the rain is coming in." Benny was glad to get into bed, and he was soon asleep again. Henry sat up for an hour. He emptied the pails once more and then crawled in beside Benny. The rain had almost stopped.
"I'll fix the roof tomorrow," he thought, "and maybe Joe will help me. He's a very handy man."
The next morning it was still raining. The children dressed and ate breakfast and then watched the rain.
"One of us must go outside for the groceries," said Henry. "And I think I'm the one. My clothes are going to get awfully wet, so what shall I do while they dry?"
"Where are all your other clothes?" asked Benny.
Henry pointed to the clothesline over the stove.
"They aren't dry yet," said Jesse. "I'm sorry now that I washed them." "Henry can go to bed while his clothes dry," said Benny.
"Say, listen, Benny," cried Henry. "How would you like to go to bed? You get busy and think of something I could put on."
"Jesse could make you a suit out of a blanket," said Benny suddenly.
I really could cry, Jesse. It's lucky we brought along Violet's work bag. I'll make you a pair of pants out of a blanket. And you can put on your new sweater while your things dry.
Good for you, Jesse, said Henry. Now let's be sure we have thought of everything we want, so I won't have to go out again.
I have an idea, said Benny. Why don't you put on your swimming suit to go outside, and then your clothes won't get wet?
That is a good idea, Benny. What would we do without you, said Henry.
Benny, you are wonderful, agreed Jesse.
Benny laughed and said,
I know you can make pants out of a blanket if you had to.
I'll put on my swimming suit, said Henry. You'll be thinking of what you want.
Jesse said, there will be some potatoes in the box because I ordered them, and all that bread and milk. Do you think you can carry it all?
I'm going to make some clam chowder, and I'll need onions from the garden.
The onions aren't very big, but big enough.
I'll get the onions first, said Henry, appearing in his swimming suit, and give them to you through the door. I think I can carry everything else. Henry handed the little onions to Jesse through the partly open door. When he came in with the basket of groceries, he looked as if he had been swimming. After a rubdown with a towel, Henry put on his dry clothes and was ready for work. This is a perfect day to work on our museum things, he said. I can make some boxes for the shells and butterflies. Soon the table was covered with wood, paper, paints, and tools. At 11:30, Jessie stopped her work to make the chowder.
I'm going to use these little onions for the chowder, she said.
Jessie melted some butter and put the onions in it. Then she added water and salt and the sliced potatoes. When the potatoes were done, she added the cut-up clams and, at the very last minute, the milk. Soon, when dinner was ready, the four children took their bowls of chowder and sat down, not minding the rain at all.
Jesse, you can make anything, cried Henry.
Yum, yum, Jesse can make good chowder, said Benny.
After dinner, the children painted birds and fixed the feathery seaweed for their museum. Henry went upstairs to put up the tables. By the time it was dark, the Alden Museum was very well started.
I think the birds are the best thing in the museum, said Benny.
But Benny did not know what they were to find the next day. Chapter 7. Exploring. The next morning the rain had stopped and it was a beautiful day. First the four children went swimming. Then, after breakfast, they started out with the big kettle to explore again.
Let's go down to the very end of the island today, said Henry.
I'll make a picture of the island as we go along, said Violet, taking the blue book. They walked along slowly until they could see the very end of the island.
Look! Oh, look, cried Jesse. What a big pile of shells.
It's taller than Benny, cried Henry, as he and the others ran to the shell pile.
They're all broke, said Benny, picking up some shells.
Broken, Benny, said Henry.
Well, broken, then, said Benny. Old broken clam shells. No pretty ones for our museum.
Yes, but look, said Jesse. They are all clam shells, just as if somebody had sat here for years and years getting out clams.
Maybe they did, said Violet.
Who did, asked Benny.
I don't know, Benny, replied Henry. I know I never saw anything like it before. Not even in a picture. He took a stick and dug in the pile. Violet made a little picture in her book of the shell pile. Then the children started to explore the other side of the island. They found that this side of the island was very rocky. Jesse, Henry, and Violet were looking up at the high rocks when Benny said suddenly,
Look, a little cave. Let's go in.
He's right, said Henry, looking in.
Come on, like this, said Benny, going in on his hands and knees.
The other children went after Benny, laughing.
Oh, it's just like a little room, cried Jesse. And I can see another one.
Nice in here, said Henry, looking around him. Let's go on.
They all crawled after Henry and came to another little room. They could still see the ocean as they looked back. The children sat down, and Henry began to dig with the stick, just for fun. Suddenly he dug out a small stone.
Oops, cried Henry.
What is this? He picked up the stone and rubbed off the wet sand. Then he jumped up.
It's an Indian arrowhead, he cried. What do you know?
Let me see it, said Jesse.
It certainly is an arrowhead.
See the little place at the end where they tied it to a stick?
They put feathers on the other end, said Henry.
It's for our museum, cried Benny.
So it is, cried Henry.
You think of everything, Benny.
Let's dig and see if we can find another. If Indians lived here, they had more than one arrow.
The children began to dig. When Watch saw what they were doing, he began to dig too.
If we find a lot of Indian things, cried Henry, maybe some real museum will buy them.
That is a good idea. Let's come here early some morning and dig, said Jesse.
Besides, it's lots of fun. Suddenly, Watch stopped digging and began to bark.
What's the matter, old boy? What are you trying to tell us? Asked Henry.
He went over and put his hand in the hole Watch had dug and took out a big, smooth stone.
I think this is an old axe head, he cried, turning it over and over.
The other children came to look, and Benny took it in his hand. Watch barked again sharply. Then he threw back his head and gave one long howl.
Something is wrong, cried Henry. Watch never howls.
Oh, look, Henry, cried Jesse in a frightened voice. They all looked at the door, and water was coming in almost at their feet.
Let's get out of here, shouted Henry, starting for the door. Come, just as fast as you can.
They crawled as fast as they could, but the water was quite deep. Watch began to swim.
Joe doesn't know where we are, cried Benny, or he would save us. I'm scared.
Don't talk, Benny. Keep going.
Soon they were in the first room.
A wave is coming, Henry shouted. When it comes, get out fast.
The wave came up and broke over them. Jesse caught Benny's arm and pulled him out. The four frightened children crawled through the water and scrambled along the rocky edge before another wave came in. They rested there a short time and then crawled to the shell pile.
Be careful, said Henry. Don't fall.
Oh, thank goodness, cried Jesse as they came to the dry sand.
I'm all tired, said Benny crossly. And I'm scared of that old cave.
Well, said Henry, I am the one who ought to have watched the tide. That cave is perfectly safe when the tide is out.
Just think how lucky we are to be out.
We did get out, said Violet. Thank good old Watch for that.
She was still so frightened that she shook all over.
Right, said Henry. Let's rest a little while, then we'll go back the way we came.
When the family came walking slowly back to their barn, Joe saw that something was wrong. He waved to them from the hut.
All right, he called.
No, shouted Benny. We're scared and almost dead. The water came in the cave almost all over us.
What do you mean? Asked Joe. He was very excited.
We crawled into a cave and the tide came up and almost caught us, Joe, said Henry. I should have looked for the tide. If Watch hadn't barked, we wouldn't have seen the waves coming in.
I can see that you are all worn out, said Joe.
You are too tired to get dinner. Captain Daniel has just made a big kettle of stew. Why don't you each bring a bowl down here and eat with us?
Jesse looked at Joe and smiled.
We will, she said. We'll each get a bowl and a spoon and we'll be right back. When the children sat down on the sand by the little hut,
they began to feel better. The hot stew was good. Benny looked sleepy.
"Where was this cave?" asked Joe. "On the very end of the island," said Jesse. "We found some Indian things in it."
"What did you find?" asked Joe quickly. Henry took the arrowhead out of his pocket and gave it to him.
"We found something else, too, but we forgot to bring it," he said.
"No, I brought it," said Benny, almost asleep. "It's in my pocket, and I can't get it out."
Joe put his hand in Benny's pocket and pulled out the stone.
"An Indian axe head," Joe said at once.
"I thought it was," said Henry, "but you seem to be sure."
"Well, I guess I am sure," said Joe, turning it over. "Maybe there were other things in the cave."
"I'm scared to go in that old cave again," said Benny crossly.
"Oh, don't say that," cried Joe. "Just watch the tide. There must be some good Indian digging in there. If you ever want company, I could go with you."
"Oh, would you?" said Henry.
"Then we certainly would be all right. There's a big pile of shells near the cave, too."
"What? A shell pile?" shouted Joe. "Then I will certainly go with you. I must."
"Why?" asked Benny. "Why must you?"
But it was the last word he spoke. He was fast asleep. Joe was saved from answering Benny. He just smiled and said, "I'll carry him home for you. It will be the best thing for all of you to get some sleep." Joe picked Benny up and took him to his own bed. Jesse, Violet, and Henry followed them to the barn. In a few minutes, the other three children fell asleep, right in the middle of the day. Chapter 8, Indian Point. After a long sleep, the children were as good as new.
"I feel just like starting out again," said Jesse.
"So do I," agreed Henry.
"I wonder why Joe was so excited over the shell pile. Let's ask him."
"Why did you say you must see that pile of shells?" began Henry when they had found Joe at the hut.
"Because I'm interested in things like that," answered Joe. "A shell pile means that Indians must have been on this island."
"Come right along, Joe," said Benny. "I'll show it to you."
He took hold of Joe's hand and tried to pull him up. The children laughed as Joe got on his feet. In a little while, the explorers arrived at the shell pile.
"What a wonderful thing to find," shouted Joe.
"Why?" asked Jesse. Joe was looking at some of the broken shells.
"Well," he said, "I'm sure the Indians made this pile. Do you remember from school that they made shell money called wampum? Sometimes they use these quahog shells for the purple part. Quahogs are clams."
"You think they sat here to make wampum?" asked Henry.
"Yes, and I think they dried clams here too," replied Joe, looking at some unbroken quahog shells.
"Why?" asked Jesse.
Joe laughed and said, "These are whole clam shells. So the Indians must have sat here to take the clams out of the shells. They used to dry the clams and then eat them later."
"Jessie knew that," said Benny. "She said they sat here for years and years."
"But I didn't know they were Indians," said Jessie.
"Do you think we could find any wampum here, Joe?" asked Henry.
"No, I don't really. They would save it because it was money, but we might find some old tools they used. The Indians used to smooth the shells on stones and then make the holes with tools they got from white men."
"Let's dig," said Benny. "You can tell us if we find a tool."
"I'd like to dig," said Joe, "but we ought to have something good to dig with. Let's go back and get something from Captain Daniel."
"I'm too tired," said Benny, "and so is Watch."
Henry laughed. "You sit right down with Watch and Violet," he said. "And don't go away from here, and don't get into trouble. The rest of us will get the things and come right back. Remember now."
"All right," said Benny, sitting down.
"While you are waiting, you could do some digging with a stick," called Joe. "Save everything you aren't sure about."
Violet began at once to look over the broken shells.
"Why don't you look, Benny?" she said. "Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I found something good while they are gone?
Let's try.
You try, said Benny. I don't care. All I can find is this big chicken leg.
Chicken leg? Cried Violet. That is too big for a chicken.
Well, maybe a horse, then. It's an old bone anyway, said Benny. I'll save it for Joe. He will know for sure.
Violet dug at the shells.
Benny, you know, all these shells look as if someone broke them, and a lot of the purple part is gone. That means that Joe is right, and they did make wampum here.
Of course Joe is right, said Benny. Joe is always right.
It seems funny to me, said Violet, that Joe is just a handyman. I shouldn't think he would be working here on this island if he knows so much.
Maybe he does something else, too, said Benny. And maybe he came here to have a good time and learn things this summer, just like us.
Then the others came back. They had clam hooks and a shovel, and Joe had a camera.
A camera, cried Benny. You can take a picture of Watch digging up an Indian.
I wish I could, said Joe, laughing. I want to take a picture of the shell pile. You and Watch sit right where you are. That will show how big the shell pile is. Violet scrambled out of the way.
No, no, said Joe. Don't go. I want you in the picture, too. You stand beside Watch.
So Violet stood where she was, and Joe took the picture. He took four pictures, one from each side.
Why do you want all these pictures, Joe? Asked Henry.
Maybe I'd better tell you something, said Joe. If the people on the mainland knew about this pile, they would be over here with cameras and shovels before we could stop them. You wouldn't like that, would you?
Oh, no, cried Benny. We don't want a lot of people over here.
You children had better not tell anyone about this shell pile before your grandfather knows, said Joe.
All right, we won't, said Henry.
We'll tell grandfather when he comes to visit us. Now, let's dig. I'd like to do this for a living, Joe. Go to far-off places and dig up old bones and things.
Good for you, Henry, cried Joe. It is very interesting work. But let me warn you, it isn't all fun. You may work for a year and not find anything.
Just like fishing, said Benny.
Exactly, agreed Joe.
Maybe you'd like to work with Henry.
No, I wouldn't, said Benny. I'd rather fish, because you can eat the fish.
You will help us now, won't you? Asked Henry. We need every man we can get.
Sure, said Benny. Watch, you can help too.
Watch obeyed, but he soon barked and held up his paw. There was a white bone sticking in it.
A fish hook, cried Joe. Right in your paw, Watch. Here, let me take it out.
It's a fish hook made from an animal bone.
That means Indians used to fish here, doesn't it? Asked Henry.
Yes, I think so, said Joe. Now, do you want to work just a little more? I'd like to dig under the pile before we go.
Sure, said Benny. We're not hungry because we ate so much stew. What do you think we'll find, Joe?
I haven't any idea, said Joe. He took the shovel and soon dug quite a big hole. They all got down on their hands and knees to look in the hole.
Is that anything? Asked Violet, pointing.
It looks like a piece of a dish.
It's a piece of a dish, shouted Joe.
Here is another piece, said Jessie, handing it to Joe.
I think that these are all pieces of a bowl, cried Joe.
The children found some more pieces and gave them to Joe. He wiped off the sand and put the pieces together.
Yes, this is a cooking bowl, said Joe. I'm sure now that Indians lived here. We know now that they used to get clams here and that they made wampum here. We may find more things. This island is a wonderful place.
Violet could see that Joe kept his eyes on the bowl every minute.
That dish tells us more than anything else we have found, said Joe.
I don't think so, said Benny, to everyone's surprise. I think my horse bone tells the most, because it tells that the Indians had horses, see?
Benny pointed to the bones sticking up out of the sand.
"Benny Alden," Joe almost shouted. "The Indians didn't have horses before the white man came. Where did you find this?"
"On the back of the pile," answered Benny. "We're digging on the wrong side, I guess."
"It's a man's bone, Benny," cried Joe. "It's part of a skeleton. Do you know what a skeleton is?"
"Oh, yes," said Benny. "All of us have a skeleton inside us. It's made of bones."
"That's right," said Henry. "Show us exactly where you found the bone."
"Right here," said Benny, going to the other side of the pile.
"Let's dig," cried Joe. "But be careful. Downwatch. You're a good dog, but this is no place for you to dig." "Oh, children, look." Another bone came in sight. "If you don't mind, please let me do the digging, will you? Just sit and watch me." The children sat back and watched Joe as he slowly dug the sand away. Even Benny was excited as he saw 12 small bones side by side in the sand. "There ought to be another set just like these," said Joe.
"There they are," shouted Henry. "And look, Joe. Look at the arrowhead sticking out."
"He was shot," cried Joe. "Shot with an arrow. This is the skeleton of an Indian." Before long, the whole skeleton lay before the excited children.
"Well, well," said Joe, sitting back to rest. "We can't move the skeleton because we haven't the right tools. It will be safe because nobody knows it is here. Let's cover him up again."
"Cover him up," shouted Benny. "But we just found him, Joe. He's for our museum."
"I know, Benny," answered Joe. "Will you leave him here, just to please me? We can dig some other day in the cave. Aren't you getting hungry now?"
"Yes, I am," said Benny. "Let's go home and get some bread and milk."
Jesse smiled at Joe. It was so easy to please Benny sometimes. "Shall we take the bowl, Joe?" she asked.
"Oh, yes. Take all the small things to put in your museum."
So the explorers took their collection of clam hooks and Indian things and started home for supper.
"Let's call this end of the island Indian Point," said Henry.
And that is what it was always called after that. Chapter 9, A New Violin. After supper a few days later, the children sat resting in the doorway of the barn.
"Listen," said Violet suddenly.
Since Violet never said anything suddenly, everyone looked at her in surprise and listened. Then they heard the sound of a violin.
"Who can that be?" asked Violet.
"Let's find out," said Henry.
Watch ran right to Captain Daniel's hut, and the four children followed. There sat Joe in the doorway, playing a real violin. He did not stop when he saw the children. They stared at him and watched his fingers fly as he played a very fast piece. When Joe finished, Benny said,
"I didn't know you had a violin."
"Oh, please play it again. When did you learn to play?" cried Violet. "Could I hold it just a minute?"
Jesse and Henry were too surprised to speak. This was not at all like Violet. When Joe handed the violin to her, Violet took it and put it under her chin.
"Play something," said Joe.
"Oh, I can't play it," said Violet. "I'd just like to hold it a minute under my chin. Do you mind, Joe?"
"No, no," said Joe. "But don't you want me to show you how to play it?"
"Not now," said Violet. "You play some more."
She gave the violin back as if she had played one all her life. Joe did play some more, first a slow little piece and then a faster one. But Jesse and Henry were not watching Joe. They were watching Violet. She stood without moving all the time Joe was playing. Joe was watching Violet, too. He was sure she could learn to play well because she seemed to like the violin so much.
When the family went back to the barn at last, they were all thinking of Joe's wonderful playing. That night, when Jessie went to sleep, it seemed to her that Joe played such a sad piece that Violet cried. But when Jessie woke up, she knew that it was real crying that she heard, for Violet was crying softly. Jessie got up at once. "What is the matter?" she asked, falling on her knees beside Violet's bed. "Why are you crying?"
I want to learn to play the violin," said Violet, starting to cry again.
"Of course you shall," said Jessie. "I know Grandfather will buy you a violin, and Joe can teach you how to play it."
"It's not that," said Violet. "You see, I want to practice. And it's so selfish to go off and practice all by myself when I ought to be helping."
Henry came in with the flashlight.
"Oh, my goodness," cried Jessie. "What can I say? You talk to her, Henry."
"I heard most of it," said Henry. "She thinks she's selfish to practice when we came down here to have a good time together. Is that it?"
"That's just it," said Jessie.
"Now, Violet, look here," said Henry. "You couldn't be selfish if you tried. We all want you to learn to play the violin. Most people don't even like to practice, you know." Henry's little talk with Violet made her feel better. Soon they were all talking again and even laughing a little.
"Shh," said Jessie. "We better be quiet. We don't want to wake Benny. He would certainly howl."
The children left Violet feeling happy again and thinking about the little violin her grandfather would surely buy for her. The next morning, Joe got Captain Daniel to telephone Mr. Alden. He listened to the story and thought about his own beautiful violin carefully packed away. But he said to Captain Daniel, "Certainly, Violet must have a violin. The only trouble is that I am too busy this morning to buy one for her."
"Joe thinks he could pick one out," said Captain Daniel. "His playing is just wonderful."
"That Joe is a very interesting man," replied Mr. Alden. "I'll have a talk with him when I come over. Give him the money for the violin, Captain, and let him buy one if he thinks he can." When Joe came back to the Alden Island with the little violin, Violet was waiting for him on the dock. Joe was sure that Violet could someday be a wonderful player, so he had bought her a fine violin. The rest of the family came flying down to see if Joe had had any luck. After they all had seen the violin, Violet shut the box.
"I don't think it likes to be outdoors," she said.
"I don't think so either," agreed Joe. "Let's take it to the hut, and I will give you your first lesson."
"I'll go with you," said Benny.
"No, you had better stay on the dock with us and fish," said Henry quickly.
"Are you going to fish?" asked Benny.
"Yes," said Henry, who had not thought of fishing until that very minute. "Just think, Benny. We've been here by the ocean 4 weeks, and we haven't had a single fishing trip yet." Suddenly, Henry found that he wanted to go fishing himself.
"You will find fish lines and bait in an old box under the dock," called Joe.
Luck was surely with Henry. He baited a hook with a clam. Then he let down a long line and gave the end to Benny. Almost at once, Benny began to yell and pull away on his line, hand over hand.
"Good," cried Henry when Benny finally landed the fish on the dock. "What a wonderful fisherman you are, Benny. Wait, I'll take it off the hook for you and put it on a string."
"What a big one," said Jessie.
"Don't catch many more of those, Benny, or we'll be eating fish for a week."
The children sat on the dock for a long time, but nothing happened.
"I wish I could catch one," said Jessie. "Another fish like the one Benny caught, and we would have enough for dinner. And I know just how to bake them with dressing."
"I'm getting tired of this," said Henry. "I'm going to stop."
"I'm not," said Benny. "My grandfather told me fishing takes lots of time."
"He did take you fishing once, didn't he?" said Henry. "I remember I wanted to go, but I had to do schoolwork."
"He told me that if I think I won't catch a fish, then I will catch one for sure,
and so when I do catch one, I am surprised," said Benny.
"I see," said Henry, sitting down again. He tied his own line to the dock, and because he really did not think he would get any fish, he looked out at the boats. Henry had just sat down when Benny shouted, "Hurry! You got a fish! Don't you see your line pull?"
Benny jumped for Henry's line, and before anyone could help him, he pulled in another fish just like the first one.
"Oh, Jesse, isn't that something? They are two twins, I guess."
"I guess you are the fisherman of this family, all right," said Henry. "You and Grandfather. I don't even know when there's a fish on my own line." Henry put a string through the mouth of the other fish, and Benny carried them proudly home.
"Joe can clean them for me," said Benny.
"Oh, I can do that," said Henry. "I can clean fish, even if I can't catch them."
"Cut them in half, Henry, will you?" called Jesse. "I will go in and start the dressing."
Benny would not leave his twin fishes even for a minute. After Henry had washed them, Benny brought them to Jesse and stayed by her side while she put them in a pan. Jesse piled the dressing made of bread, onions, melted butter, and salt on 4 pieces of fish.
"I guess they will be good," said Benny as the oven door shut.
He sat by the oven with the dog until Jesse said that it was dinner time. Violet came in. She put her violin carefully away, but she did not talk about her lesson.
"What do I smell?" she cried. "It's the twins," said Benny. "They're in the oven baking."
"Twins?" cried Violet. "What does he mean?" Jesse opened the oven door and took out the pan to show her.
"They are done. We can each have half a fish," she said. "And Benny shall have his first because he caught them."
She put the fish carefully on 4 plates.
"I wish Grandfather could see us eating your fish, Benny," said Henry. "You are a very good fisherman."
"He's coming to visit us tomorrow," said Violet. "He telephoned to Captain Daniel and said he would be over tomorrow if it was all right."
"It's all right with me," cried Henry.
"And me," said Jesse.
"But what shall we have to eat? I suppose we ought to have some meat for dinner."
"I think Grandfather would like to eat just what we do," said Violet.
"Maybe Grandfather and I could go fishing," said Benny. "But we might not catch anything."
"Grandfather won't have time to go fishing, Benny," said Henry. "Let's have dinner from our own garden."
"Remember those little vegetables we had in the boxcar days, Benny?"
"Oh, yes, little vegetables with melted butter," cried Benny. "Let's have vegetables."
"That's a better idea. Then we'll be sure to have some dinner," said Jesse, laughing.
Chapter 10. Grandfather's Visit.
"We must be ready at 10 o'clock," said Jesse the next morning. "Grandfather told Captain Daniel to meet him with the boat at 10 o'clock, and he is always on time."
"We must certainly show him the museum," said Henry. "I know he will be interested in the Indian things, but I'm not so sure about the birds and flowers."
"I think he will like our museum," said Violet. "It has his name on the door."
She looked up and read the sign again. "The James H. Alden Museum."
"Everything is ready," said Jesse. She took one last look. "Let's go down on the dock to wait for him."
Mr. Alden was delighted to see his grandchildren all waving from the dock. "Fine children," he said to Captain Daniel.
"Best that ever I saw," agreed Captain Daniel, waving too.
He tied the boat and watched the old man and his happy grandchildren as they went out of sight into the barn.
"I want to see every single thing you have," said Mr. Alden.
He sat down in the company chair and looked around him.
"Say, what's this I see, a museum?"
Grandfather was on his feet in a minute.
"Are you going to let me see it?" he asked excitedly, with his foot on the stairs.
"Of course," cried Jesse, "if you don't mind the heat. It's awfully hot up there."
"No, I don't mind," said Mr. Alden at the top of the stairs.
He saw what the museum was like with one look.
"Which one of you thought of this? Tell me about it."
They told him all about their museum. They showed him the flowers, the seaweed, the boxes of shells and butterflies, and the paper birds in real branches.
Mr. Alden looked for a long time at the bluebird sitting near its nest. There were 4 blue eggs cut from paper in the nest. "The birds left that nest," said Henry, "so we took it." "Good," said Mr. Alden, smiling. "And what did you find, Benny?"
"I found a big bone in the shell pile."
"We ought to tell you about that bone, Grandfather," said Henry, laughing. "Let's go downstairs, and you can sit in the company chair. You see, we found the skeleton of a whole Indian, and Benny found his leg bone. Joe says it is very important, and not to tell anyone but you." "Where is the skeleton?" cried Mr. Alden.
"It's near a very big pile of shells on the end of the island."
"Yes, I remember seeing that pile of shells when I was a boy," said Mr. Alden.
"Joe told us not to pick up the Indian bone," said Benny. "He said you could get men to do it right after we go home."
"That Joe seems to know a lot," said Mr. Alden. "I'll see him before I go."
"Look in this box, Grandfather," said Benny. "That's an arrowhead, and that's an axe head, and that's a cooking bowl, all Indian. And that's a tool made out of bone. Watch found the axe head and the tool."
"Well, well," cried Mr. Alden. "Who told you? Did anyone tell you to make a museum to put these things in?"
"No," said Henry. "Don't you like it?"
"Yes, Henry, I like it very much indeed. It just seems strange because it's the very thing I used to do myself. I used to go out in the woods all alone and sit for hours listening to the birds."
"Yes," said Henry, smiling. "We do the very same thing. We must be just like you."
Then Violet brought her violin for him to see. To their surprise, Mr. Alden put it under his chin and began to play. He played very well.
"You didn't know I played, did you?" said Mr. Alden to the surprised children.
"That's a fine little violin, Violet."
"You're a wonderful grandfather," cried Henry. "Always doing something new. We didn't know you could play."
"I am out of practice," said Mr. Alden, handing the violin back to Violet. "Haven't even held a violin for years. Now, what else have you to show me?"
"You must come to the little hut to see Joe," said Benny.
"I think Joe went over to the mainland this morning," said Violet.
"That's funny," said Henry, "because he certainly knew you were coming today." "It makes me cross," shouted Benny. "I want you to see Joe. He's my best friend in all the world."
"Then I'm cross too," said Mr. Alden. "What time do you have dinner around here?"
"Almost right away," cried Jessie. "Are you hungry?"
"I'm as hungry as a bear," answered Mr. Alden. At once, Jessie put some water in the big kettle.
"You children set the table and get the milk out so that Grandfather won't have to wait a minute after dinner is ready."
"Oh, you needn't hurry as much as that," said Mr. Alden. "I can wait half an hour, maybe." Before that time, the little vegetables were done. Jessie put them in a big dish and poured melted butter over them. There was plenty of bread and butter to go along with the vegetables, and because they had company, Jessie had put 2 eggs and some sugar into the milk. "This is a delicious drink," said Mr. Alden. "I shall come again."
"Please do," cried Violet. "But you're not going home for a long time yet, I hope."
"I think I am," said Mr. Alden, "and I should like to take you all with me. Just on a little trip for an hour or so," he added quickly.
"All right," said Jessie. "I thought for a minute that you wanted us to leave the island for good.
You like it, don't you?" "No, it won't take very long. I want to show you something." It did not take long for Captain Daniel to get the family to the mainland. They got into Mr. Alden's waiting car and were taken to a big building they had never seen before.
"It's a museum," cried Henry. "Look, Jessie, look."
Henry pointed at the name over the door, which said in large letters cut in stone, "The Alden Museum."
"My goodness," cried Jessie. "Is that name for you, Grandfather?"
"I suppose it is," said Mr. Alden. "It's been here a long time."
You gave the money to build it, cried Henry.
The surprised children followed their grandfather inside, where a young girl came and showed them everything he wanted them to see. At last they came to a small room, and the girl told them to go in. Jesse was the first to see a sign which read, "The first collection made by James Henry Alden when he was a boy of 15.
"What do you know?" cried Henry, looking at the birds. "Our birds are just like yours."
Mr. Alden's birds were painted ones, too, and they were sitting in real trees. "The birds left these nests," said Mr. Alden with a twinkle in his eyes. "So I took them." Henry laughed and said, "You didn't want to kill any birds either, did you?" Mr. Alden went on, "No, the real birds out in the museum were found dead and brought to us. Not a bird in this museum was killed for me. And now I'll let you go back to your island and wash your dishes." When they got into the boat, he gave them each a box, and it was not until later that he remembered that he had not seen Joe, the handyman. Chapter 11. Apple Pie. The next morning was very cold. Benny did not want to get up at all.
"No," he said. "It's so cold that I'm not going to get out of bed."
Henry looked out at the ocean. "I have an idea," he said. "It's too cold outside today. Let's all stay inside and paint our birds."
"Fine," agreed Jesse. "I'll light the stove and we'll shut the barn door. It will soon be warm."
In spite of what he had said earlier about staying in bed, Benny opened the swinging door of his room and came out wearing his red sweater. He was carrying the little toy boat which was in the package his grandfather had given him.
"I like my new boat," said Benny proudly. "Let's make it go, Henry."
"Put it in that pail of water, Benny," said Henry. "You play with your boat while we get ready to work." The girls helped Henry put the table in the corner under the window. Then Jesse brought the bird books and some heavy paper.
"I'm going to use my new pen," said Violet. "Grandfather knew I needed a new one."
"He knew I wanted a set of things like this to fix cuts," said Henry. "It will be handy to have when we go on picnics or exploring." Grandfather had given Jesse a set of 6 cooking spoons.
"Are you going to use your new spoons today, Jesse?" asked Violet.
"I might," said Jesse. "I have a good idea for dinner this noon. I think you'll like it, but I won't tell you what it is until we have finished painting the birds."
"Let's get to work then," cried Henry. "I'll cut out paper birds and you girls color them."
"Cut out a picture of every bird we have seen," said Jesse. "The bird book tells all the names."
The children worked all morning. Suddenly Benny said,
"Henry, I think Joe ought to have stayed here to see Grandfather."
"I think so, too," said Henry.
"It seems very strange," said Violet, "for him to go off without telling us."
"We'll ask him when he comes back," said Jesse.
"And now I'll tell you my surprise for dinner. I'm going to make an apple pie."
"But you never made a pie," said Henry, looking up.
"No," said Jesse, "but I'm going to now."
She took a pan of very small green apples out of the cupboard.
"Where did you get them?" asked Benny.
"Near the yellow house," said Jesse. "There are 2 apple trees there."
"I'll get them ready," said Violet.
"Good. And Henry, won't you smooth off one of those boards for a pie board?"
Jesse washed the new board. Then she picked up a big empty green bottle.
"This is my rolling pin," she said. "I'm going to try to make some good pie crust."
So over and over she rolled the crust. She put some butter on it and rolled it out again. But when Jesse put the bottom crust in the pan, the crust was not big enough.
"Put a patch in it," said Benny.
Jesse took a little more crust and smoothed it over the edge of the pan with her fingers.
"This is going to be a very deep pie," she said, "and there will be lots of apples in it."
Benny watched Jesse roll out the top crust.
"Make it big enough this time, Jesse," he said. "There are lots of apples."
Jesse rolled the top crust a little thinner. It was just right. When the pie was in the oven, She began to boil some sugar and water in a saucepan. "What's that for?" asked Henry. He began to take the things off the table.
"Just wait," said Jessie. "I think it's going to be the best thing about this pie. You see, there isn't any sugar in the pie yet, so there is no juice to boil over. Why don't you get out the bread and milk and set the table? Then everything else will be ready when the pie is done." When the crust was nice and brown, Jessie took the pie out of the oven. She lifted up the top crust with a knife and carefully poured the hot juice over the apples. Then she let down the crust again. Just as Jessie was about to cut the pie into four pieces, there was a knock at the barn door.
"Who in the world can that be?" cried Henry. He was so surprised that he almost dropped his cup. When Henry opened the door, he was even more surprised to see a tall man standing there.
"I'm sorry," said the stranger, "but I went to the fisherman's hut and nobody was at home."
"Won't you come in?" asked Jessie.
"Thank you. It is a cold day," said the man with a smile. "Oh, I see that you're about to have dinner. I'll just stay long enough to ask you something."
"Won't you sit down?" said Henry.
"Thank you. My name is Browning," he said as he sat down in the company chair. "A young man who went exploring for me last year has been lost. I heard that he was dead. Then later I heard that he was living on the Alden Island. This is the Alden Island, isn't it?"
"Yes," said Henry, "but there's nobody on the island but Captain Daniel and his friend Joe."
"Who is this Captain Daniel?" asked Mr. Browning.
"Oh, Captain Daniel is old," said Henry,
"and I'm sure he never went exploring. He has been with my grandfather for years." "How about his friend Joe?" asked the man.
"He's nice. He's my best friend in all the world," said Benny proudly. "Oh, but Jessie, and maybe Watch, and Captain Daniel, and of course Violet, and Henry, and my grandfather."
"You have a lot of best friends," said the man, laughing. "Tell me, what color are Joe's eyes and hair?"
"He has brown hair and brown eyes," said Benny, "and he has a violin."
"I don't think he is the one I know then," said the man. "I never heard that he played the violin. Just the same, I should like to see your Joe."
"Won't you wait for him? He is sure to come back soon," said Jessie. "Why don't you stay to dinner and help us eat our first apple pie?"
The man looked at the big pie and said, "If you are sure there'll be enough, I think I will." So the pie was cut into five pieces. Violet quietly got an extra cup of milk and set another place, and the stranger sat down to a strange dinner. "When I look at that pie," said Mr. Browning, "my mouth fills up with water." And certainly everyone was watching Jessie as she took out the big, juicy pieces. "Milk seems to go with apple pie," said Henry.
"I never knew pie could be so delicious," said Mr. Browning when dinner was over. "But now, if I may, I think I will see if I can find Joe."
"We think that Joe is more than a handyman," said Henry. "Joe knows everything in the world," said Benny. "He knows all the flowers and the birds and the clamshells and Indian things."
"Indian things," cried Mr. Browning. "It must be the very one. He was the head of a museum before he went away. I must see him." But Mr. Browning did not see Joe. Captain Daniel came back to the island without him. He said that Joe had gone away for a day or two.
"Is he coming back?" asked Benny, getting ready to howl.
"Oh, yes," said Captain Daniel. "He will come back all right." When Mr. Browning left, he told Jessie that he was glad he came, for now he had met a girl who could make a wonderful apple pie with an old green bottle for a rolling pin.